From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. J. David Goodman, Jesse McKinley, and Danny Hackman are reporting for the New York Times that aides to Governor Andrew Cuomo repeatedly overruled state health officials over a span of at least 5 months about how to handle the COVID-19 crisis in New York's nursing home. The reporters based their story on interviews and newly unearthed documents. The story says, and I quote, a scientific paper which incorporated the data was never published. An audit of the numbers by a top Cuomo aide was finished months before it became publicly known. Two letters drafted by the health department and meant for state legislators were never sent, end quote. Senior Cuomo aides worked to stop the state's health officials, including the health commissioner Howard Zucker, from reporting an accurate death toll in the nursing homes to the public or state lawmakers. Elkan Abramowitz, a lawyer representing Cuomo's office, said the administration doubted Zucker's numbers. Abramowitz said, and I quote, the whole brouhaha here is overblown to the point where there are cynical suggestions offered for the plain and simple truth that the chamber wanted only to release accurate information that they believed was totally unassailable, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, the chamber was never satisfied that the numbers that they were getting from DOH were accurate, end quote. But Cuomo has not hinted of firing Zucker and has taken no disciplinary action against his health commissioner and his faulty nursing home death data. There is currently a federal investigation into how the Cuomo administration handled the COVID-19 pandemic in nursing homes and several other state investigations into other issues such as sexual assault and harassment. And you can read more about this story in the New York Times. Melanie Lekosevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Republicans and landlords statewide pushed back April 28th against a Democratic proposal to extend the eviction moratorium originally adopted to provide relief during the COVID-19 crisis. The Assembly Minority Conference held a virtual press conference calling on state lawmakers to end the moratorium that denies property owners the ability to evict tenants who do not pay their rent. A vote on the extension was originally slated for this week in the state legislature, but by midweek, the vote had been delayed until Monday. The moratorium was first passed in May, early in the COVID-19 pandemic. Opponents of the moratorium argue that it is hurting small landlords who struggle to make mortgage payments. Assembly Minority Leader Will Barkley said, and I quote, we have crossed the line from protecting tenants facing difficulties to providing near immunity from paying rent, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, temporarily halting evictions made sense as the state was coming to grips with an emerging pandemic. But forcing landlords to house tenants who refuse to pay rent month after month is nothing short of economic cruelty, end quote. Rochester landlord Rick Tyson said, and I quote, we reached a point where we had lost more than our entire property tax liability to both the city of Rochester and Monroe County, which at the same time was $87,000, end quote. Tyson said, and I quote, this moratorium is crushing us at this point, end quote. Eliza Caro, a West Hampton Beach landlord, said, and I quote, maybe the moratorium made sense early on, no doubt. Tenants in need needed some protection. There was panic. It was a pandemic. It was something unprecedented. Essentially, the moratorium confiscates property in order to house people who the state should be helping, while denying taxpaying property owners the right to due process, end quote. This week, tenant advocates and the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition held a rally outside the office of Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett's office in Hudson. In a call for the state to extend the eviction moratorium and provide rent relief to those tenants financially impacted by the pandemic. Barrett said in a release statement she was asking the state to release funds aimed at helping those tenants experiencing hardship to pay their rent. My priority is to deliver immediate, tangible assistance to our renters and small landlords across the state. And I call upon the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance to swiftly establish the framework needed to bring relief to our residents, end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. An audit of the Ulster County Public Defender's Office shows significant improvements in grant management have been made in the past year. In 2020, County Executive Pat Ryan said that failures within the office led to the loss of nearly $2.5 million in state aid, including $1.9 million that could have covered money spent by the county. Still, County Controller March Gallagher said there is room for improvement, and she urged the Ryan administration to change how it budgets grant revenues and the corresponding expenses. Gallagher released the findings of the audit April 28th. Her office conducted the review in response to the February 2020 call by Ryan to conduct a comprehensive review of the past 6 years of the public defender's finances. The audit revealed three key problems: a lack of oversight and monitoring that resulted in the underutilization of grants, the failure of the administration to budget expenditures necessary to receive budgeted revenue, and its failure to document budget deviations from department request, and the failure of the Public Defender's Office to collect data metrics to assess improvements to indigent legal services. In 2017, 2018, and 2019, then Public Defender Andrew Kossover requested additional positions that would have been paid for through state grants. Ryan's predecessor, Michael Hine, rejected the request but failed to remove from the county budget the revenue the county would have received if the positions were filled. Gallagher said the Ryan administration initially claimed the documentation did not exist, but after months of wrangling, she was able to obtain that information using the subpoena power of her office. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Edward McKinley is reporting for the Times Union. The State Senate and Assembly on April 28th adopted resolutions to repeal three executive orders issued by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo under his COVID-19 emergency powers, marking lawmakers' first formal reprimand of the governor's pandemic directives. The first requirement was for food to be served with alcoholic drinks, which started the trend of, and I quote, Cuomo ships, end quote, where bars and restaurants would sell small, inexpensive snacks along with drinks to comply with the order. The second order rescinded a waiver allowing volunteers working on the state's pandemic response to avoid conflict disclosure rules. And the last was for now outdated restrictions on the vaccination rollout that no longer apply. A legislative source told the Times Union that repeals of other executive orders and directives are under discussion, including removing the curfew on bars and restaurants and the so-called Footloose Law that bans dancing at those establishments. The governor announced on Twitter that the curfew for bars and restaurants would be lifted in May, but lawmakers are looking to act sooner. The governor also proposed loosening rules for weddings and catered events on May 3rd. State Senator Daphne Jordan said, and I quote, imagine being a bride told you cannot dance with your family and friends if you're getting married this weekend, but beginning Monday, May 3rd, you could do so, end quote. She added, and I quote, the governor's logic makes absolutely no sense, and these ridiculous restrictions on weddings should be lifted immediately, end quote. The governor's senior advisor, Rich Azzaprati, framed the lawmakers' actions as a collaborative effort. Azzaprati said, and I quote, with the numbers steadily decreasing, lifting this COVID-related restriction was something we were in the process of implementing in the coming days, end quote. He added, and I quote, we are pleased that the legislature agrees that we have made enough progress on COVID that New York is in a position to repeal this provision. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.